Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Oh, hey there.
I didn't see you.
Come on in. Can you get past the bouncer at the door?
The furry bouncer.
That's Nora, the cat.
Yeah. We've just been having an off-air conversation about how every time the mic is out, the cat is right next to me.
She's just making sure that everything is professional, on time, and correct.
I think she's quite cross that she hasn't actually been made an actual star of the show yet.
She kind of is. She's like a, what are they kind of?
A cameo.
Cameo, but like she's always been there and I think she's probably got a cult following. You know, she's not an obvious character, but she's always there. You know.
She's the Gunther of
exactly.
BFN.
She's probably got memes about her and stuff.
Yeah, she's definitely got memes about her.
A subreddit.
Just in case you haven't listened before, Nora is my cat.
Yes. Hey, welcome to the episode.
Hey, how are you, Gabriella?
Hey, I'm good. It's bloody hot now, isn't it?
So hot. I had a massive freak out about having no clothes, even though I've got a million clothes.
Yeah, I always do that. I forget that I've got clothes. It's really bad. And then I order some and then I'm like, I do actually have all of these things under the bed that I haven't brought out. Yeah, it's pretty stupid. So actually, there's a nice shop in Ramsgate called Positive Retail.
Oh,
and they do like, it's like a secondhand shop essentially, but they've done it kind of quite zhuzhy. So I took a load of clothes down there the other day. So I felt quite good about myself.
That's good of you.
I don't wear these anymore. You have them.
Oh, and they went, we don't want your old crap.
And they went, well, I'm not sure about that. No, they did. They actually liked them. Emma, they were nice things, mate.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I was trying to make friends with them, so I wasn't going to take shit down there. I'm on the friend hunt.
The old friend hunt.
How are you?
I'm fine. I am hot. I am sweaty. I am by myself this week, which is hard work.
Oh, yeah, that is quite sad. I'm sorry, mate.
No, it's okay. John's away for work. I don't know if that's your wood pigeon or my wood pigeon, but somebody is being very friendly.
Sorry, I think it's mine.
That's okay.
My window's open.
Your window's open.
Unprofessional.
Okay, well, I like the atmosphere it's adding.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I'm just, I think, all right, mate.
Just I close the window.
I'm trying to get through. Basically, this week is one of those ones that I just have to like get through. And then at the end, it'll be the end of it. And I'll feel better.
At the end, it won't be here anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you got any plans at the weekend that you can be like, yay, we've got to the weekend?
This weekend. I don't know what the pigeon's up to this weekend. We'll come to him next. But this weekend, I'm going to London. And then on Sunday, I think there's someone's birthday party on a beach.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah, I'm going to that too.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Well, I'll see you there, mate.
You will.
Me and the wood pigeon.
Bring him along.
Yeah, I will.
I mean, I don't know if you've got a plus one because it's not my birthday party.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I know them well enough. I can.
Okay.
shall we talk about the episode?
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So we starting off with Sophie.
Sophie. It's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, she's got an exciting announcement, hasn't she?
She does.
Which is, all right, mate. Oh, he's excited. It's not, by the way, it's not triggeringly exciting.
No.
No one's pregnant.
No.
Just in case anyone was worried. Well, there'll be a build-up to that. And also, I just want to say, there's a lot of talk about exploding watermelons. I'll put a link to a video to the rubber band thing in the show notes just to prove that I'm not completely mental.
You will want to look it up afterwards. I was like, what the f is she on about?
I thought it was like a well-known thing.
No, I'd never heard of it. Anyway, well, yeah.
Sure.
It's a fun chat with Soph and big reveal.
Mm-hmm. And then got Emma Haslam.
Your name twin.
My name is Emma Hazlitt. But yes, and she's talking, she runs a company called Your IVF Abroad, which kind of, it's like, it helps people to do IVF abroad. So it kind of helps you find a clinic, it helps you negotiate with the doctors and negotiate like any language barriers, things like that. Mm. And she is talking about doing IVF abroad. And that is in kind of European countries like Greece, Spain, the Czech Republic, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And abroad, I guess, is abroad from the United Kingdom. Although I think she does have American clients, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think she said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's almost like a travel agency, isn't she, for IVF?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is what you need to know, this is what I think, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be very useful if it's something you're mulling over.
Absolutely. And also, basically, if you listen to the interview and you want to know more, you can go to yourivfabroad.co.uk or you can find her on Instagram, and that is at yourivfabroad. Definitely check her out because she knows her shit.
Bloody
basically.
Lovely. Yes, yeah. Indeed. And then Professor Tim is talking about blood group type, which is interesting.
It is interesting because it's one of those things that I think there's a bit of confusion around it, essentially.
Yeah.
So we'll hear what he's got to say. There's certainly an element of confusion around it. Also, it's worth saying that after this, for the next few weeks, we're going to give him some time off for good behaviour because we have been using a lot of his time recently.
Yeah. We were like, hey, Tim, how's it going? Here's our book. Read it all.
Yeah.
And get back to us with some edits by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, can you also answer all of these questions for us? Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.
And he's actually quite a busy guy, isn't he?
He's a busy guy, like runs a fertility clinic. He's a nice guy as well. So he hasn't really complained to us. So I think we're just going to just simmer down for a bit.
Yeah. Mm. I think let's give him a little break.
Anyway. That's our show today.
That is indeed. If you'd like to get in touch and tell us how much you loved it after you've listened to it.
Please do.
You can get in touch with us on Instagram.
At Big Fat Negative.
On Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
You could email us.
Big Fat Negative Podcast @gmail.com.
Role reversal.
I don't know any of them. It's also worth saying that if you want to ask Liz a question, please do. And just make sure you put Agni on in the subject line.
Indeed. Yes, please do that. And of course, as ever, please pre-order our book if you'd like to.
Yeah. You can find it in all the places.
In all of the places. Some of the places.
Yes.
And you can rate and review the podcast so that others can find it.
We would love that. Please rate and review. That would make us very happy. We'll speak to you at the end. Sophie. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I am in a state of mixed emotion, but generally good.
Yeah?
Yeah, are you good. Feeling
like something tells us you've had a big day.
I've had quite a big day.
I've had a big day.
Wait, can we just have a very quick potted journey? So you've been trying for 2.5 years?
Yeah, just coming up to 2.5 years. 2.5 years this summer.
You've had how many appointments?
Oh, I'm not sure, but basically I'm unexplained. So I've had all the appointments for all the tests and then, you know, then all the tests again because they go out of date and then lockdown happens. So you have all the tests again and it's all
great.
Fine.
Wonderful. And then what happened today?
We were explained. Well, we're not really explained, but we're explained enough to reach the next level of the game.
Are you explained? Wow. can you tell us, why are you explained all of a sudden?
Well, we're kind of semi-explained. So everything fine, but Mr. Sophie, who has very generously said, yeah, totally fine to share this. It's important for people to know and talk about this stuff. So good on
him.
So he's had sperm analysis done now a couple of times. We had our regular, well, not our regular check-in, but we were told to check in at this time. And all the stars aligned to get the doctor to a point where she said, yeah, I think you've got enough to refer you to for ICSI IVF.
Ooh. Ooh. Welcome to my camp.
Yeah. Because I think we could call this male, you know, well, I don't think she caveated everything as much as I am. I think we could probably err on the side of. So basically, everything is fine with him that they can see. Everything has been fine with me that they can see. But he does have slightly low percentage of normal forms.
Okay.
So Mr. Gabby.
So his morphology is...
yeah,
not as good as it could be, I guess.
Yeah, and last year they said, we don't really think it's anything to worry about, but because the results have been consistent,
right?
They're saying, well, actually, maybe that is a bit of a factor.
Okay,
and because you've been trying for this length of time,
do you know what his percentage is? Would you be able to share?
I do. Yeah, it's 2%. And normal is 4%, and sometimes they discount it because they're like, well, they might just be having an off day.
Well, they also how did he put it? I spoke to Ramdog about this and he said it's observed by human eye, so he doesn't put as much stock in morphology because he thinks it's you know, it could be down to human error as well. But I suppose three times, however many times,
hat trick.
Exactly, and essentially it's just like some of them are a bit misshapen and so they move a bit slowly, anyway. That was Mr. Sophie's interpretation. He said quite classically, he was like, my sperms are a bit like me, you know, overall pretty good, but they're just a bit slow to get anywhere.
They amble along. No, not in a rush.
He's a proper ambler.
He is. He's a chilled out dude.
Yeah.
And I'm a power walker. So.
but may I be the first to say congratulations?
Thank you.
Does it feel good? Even though obviously you're finding out something that's not so good.
It does feel good because it feels like there's progress and there's something happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's something we can do. I went into this because we were just expecting this to be they told us to check back in at this time, but I was expecting it just to be keep trying. In our clinical commissioning group, you normally have to have been trying for 3 years if you have unexplained infertility. Mm-hmm. So this was a turn up for the books because it means that we're being referred about a half year quicker than we thought we were. So that's good.
That's great.
Yes.
And the doctor we spoke to sounded really positive and she was saying from previous tests that I've had done, she expects my follicle count to be quite high.
Great.
She's like, in fact, I think there might be a risk that you overstimulate and produce too much.
Oh, you're so like Gabby.
I love it.
And then the other thing was I was kind of like, okay, great, this is great that something's happening, and then expecting it to then be a kind of, you know, 4 month referral process or something. I just keep bracing myself obviously for long wait times
for
and everything
waits, yeah. And she you're was right like, to do that, Sophie, well done.
Yeah, but she said, well, no, you know, you book in your kind of I think it's called the consent the consent appointment where you go in, have a load of scans, kind of say that you're definitely up for it and that they can process all your bodily bits and data.
Fill in shit loads of forms. Like so many forms about everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's fine. I'm happy to form fill at this stage.
Yeah. It's like things like, what do you do if one of the partners dies? What do you do with the embryos? You're like,
there's some moral stuff
about that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're giving me a heads up on that, because that was not the kind of, I thought it was just going to be like, are you happy for us to, you know, store your eggs?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's that.
Yeah. Is it at this point? Is it the moral stuff, or does that come later on?
No, I think it's this point. It's now.
This point. Because if you say, is this still we're talking about with your GP, and now you'll be going to a clinic? You've never been to the clinic before.
Oh, no. I've been dealing with the clinic for some time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is at King's?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
God, I can't believe you're IBF twins.
I know.
Or ICSI twins, I should
ICSI
say.
ICSI squad represent. Yeah, man. Wow, this is exciting.
Yeah, it is. So I was expecting it to be like, oh, okay, and then wait 4 months, wait 6 months, whatever. But she basically said, well, you know, where are you in your cycle? Well, you could do the appointment here and then come in for your bloods and scans here. And then basically it sounds like, if all goes to plan, which you never know, I'm literally touching wood as we speak, I hopefully could be injecting myself in July.
That
holy
is
holy shit balls.
So great.
So yeah, when your period starts in July, you'd just go for it.
I think so. Yeah.
So when
we can get the appointments, if there's slots for the appointments that we need.
Great. So they haven't told you when your next appointment is.
Well, I need to call up tomorrow and book it.
Oh my God. Are you going to call up literally like dead on 9 a.m?
Well, she actually said in the afternoon, but she's like, oh, just give me 10 minutes to do my notes. Then I was like, I don't want to pressure them. And then I was kind of processing all the emotion and just had to walk around my flat a lot and then lie down. And then, Mr. Sophie has been, I mean, we decided this before this appointment, but he has got a kind of renewed fervor for trying to get up the duff. Right. And so he's just like, we should just, I mean, he works in wine as well. So this is the level of commitment, but he's like, we should just not drink all summer. And he's started kind of canceling his social engagements. And then having this on top was like, okay, yeah, this is it. We're going booze free, stay in, nurture ourselves.
Yeah. You've got like, it's like kind of the run up period. You're like, right, okay, this is the amount of time we have. Yeah. These are the things we can be healthy about. It's really good. It gives you focus having that date. Otherwise you're just being good forever and no one can do that.
No,
exactly. Yeah. And we had his brother's wedding last weekend, which was a very not fertility boosting occasion.
Would you call it a blowout, Sophie?
I'd call it a blowout, yeah. And I think it's about time, really.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fair enough.
Yeah, man, of course.
I think it's okay to do that.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally fine. So I'm just kind of spinning slightly at the moment, which is nice.
So you could do it. You could be doing like a transfer in July, potentially, if you don't overstimulate too much.
Yeah.
They said the likelihood is that we will do the freeze all strategy.
Yeah, right. right.
I just really like the name of, even though it's the what it describes is, well, just freezing everything and waiting a month for your, I think, for your hormones to calm down so that your womb and you can kind of do the right stuff. Correct me if I misspeak on any of this, by the way, because that's a lot of new information I've absorbed today.
No, that's pretty...
No, that's your bang on.
That's pretty much it.
I'm not quite sure why I like that name so much, but it's like Freeze All. It sounds like a kind of 80s kind of slightly tongue-in-cheek action B movie. The Freeze All strategy.
With Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Guys, I think we're going to have to freeze all.
Yeah, yeah.
Ice, ice, oh baby. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, if you were to freeze all, of course, that would continue the path of doing exactly what I did. So good choice, Sophie.
Great.
The right thing to do.
Yeah. Just following in your icy, icy footsteps.
Oh, there she is. Well, that's exciting. That's really, really exciting.
Yeah. It's kind of weird as well. And I think, to be honest, before today, was like, well, at some point we're going to hit this point of IVF referral, and am I up for it? And I've been kind of slushing it around in my mind. And as soon as the doctor said it, I was like, oh yeah, instantly, this is great news. This was kind of next step. And then she laid out all the steps really clearly, gave us a lot of time on the phone. She was brilliant, actually.
They are really good at that stage, aren't they, where they kind of explain things to you. I remember that.
I mean,
like, cheers, but don't be surprised. I'm not going to remember any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's full on all that information in one day. You're like, oh, dates swirling around in your head. Oh, this will take that long and blah, blah, blah. And then we'll take this injection and blah, blah. You know, it will leave your brain, but it's fine. You'll be reminded many, many times.
There is quite a good book coming out about that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, also, yeah. So if you could just actually wait till January.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to. You don't have
better pre-order it now so that I'm prepared.
Although, wait a sec, didn't you actually have a little sneaky read of some of it?
I did, and it's fantastic! It's so good! One other thing I wanted to shout out about Mr. Sophie's sperm, which again, he gave me license to, and in fact, he was like, yeah, you can give my sperm some props for this.
My little guys.
Was that since he had his analysis done last year, he has quit smoking. He is doing more exercise than he ever has done. He's like seeing a personal trainer. He's got like super fit, eating loads more, drinking loads less, just generally being fitter and healthier. Mm. And that has improved his other count. Well, I think it in particular improved the concentration.
Oh, yeah.
I think it like doubled it. So,
oh, wow.
I am certainly not one to say that lifestyle choices make a positive difference, because who bloody knows? And I'm sure every jizz is different. But I just wanted to give him full props for that. Because,
well done, Mr. Soph.
He's done the hard yards. I think it does make a difference. I think Mr. Gabby managed to improve his significantly by quitting the fags and cutting down the booze as well. So
it's almost like these doctors know what they're talking
about. It's annoying, that, isn't it? Have you read, there's been a bit of research out recently that said something like, booze is never not bad for you. It's like,
negatives, I feel like I'm drunk already.
It said something like booze, you know, no matter how much booze you drink, you know, there's no safe amount, essentially.
Oh.
And I've been finding that very joyless and annoying every time I see it. But I think they probably,
I don't think
are
any
right.
of us ever thought it was good for us, apart from maybe red wine, actually. I think I did. You can probably quote me as having said that I was just going to drink red wine because it was good for me.
And you're a published author, so I'm pretty sure that's legit.
Exactly. That was all backed up with science. You've got to read the science, guys. You've got to read the science. They say red wine is good for you.
Read all the science.
Was it science on the back of a bottle of red wine?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was sponsored by Jacob's Creek.
But no, I you're right. I've heard a lot of stuff about red wine, about antioxidants and lowering risk of heart disease and all that.
Well, it's going to be the lesser of the bad, right? Surely. That was also probably my real takeaway from that situation.
Probably preferable to a flaming Sambuca, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what Gabby was saying earlier is right, though. Like, if you have something to work towards, it's easier to be good.
Yeah.
But
you
then
can be as pious as fuck for a certain amount of time.
It's but then just when that date passes, you're like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I gave up coffee. Like, what was wrong with me?
Yeah, well, that I've made that declaration today. We came to the end of the pack of coffee. Mr. Sophie, very unusually, because he's still a bit weary from the wedding weekend extravaganza, had two coffees today. He doesn't even normally drink it. And today he's like, oh, that's too much coffee. Never give me this much coffee again. And I was like, that's fine, because we're giving up coffee, because we're giving up everything.
Yeah, forget it. Everything is gone.
Yeah. You just sip on your oat milk and look smug.
Palm juice and a fucking smile on your face, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what I've got really into recently is non-alcoholic beer.
There are some really good ones.
Yeah, like I've literally just been, because I'm not like John really loves his like fancy beers, like IPAs or whatever. I like a lager, really. But it's like something more than water to drink. Do you know what I mean? Whereas non-alcoholic, non-alcoholic wines, I will just drink like Ribena because they taste like Ribena. But non-alcoholic beer is like you don't think it as fast.
A bit more substance.
I think I actually brought round a bottle of non-alcoholic red wine to your house for dinner once, Sophie.
You did indeed.
Mr. Sophie drink some, as he's a wine expert.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was very impressed.
Well, because it's really nice. I think it tastes delicious, but it doesn't taste like wine.
Yeah.
I think he was quite impressed with not seeing it as a wine, but seeing it as a drink.
Just a nice soft drink.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what it is. It's like schlur. It's basically schlur in a nicer bottle.
This was after much research, and this was actually not that bad. It had an essence of red wine about it that others don't. Yeah. But the moral of the story is that there are some good non-alcoholic beverages out there.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just going to get really into juices. I've already made a watermelon juice today.
Wow. Ooh, watermelon juice. That's nice. Fancy.
Yeah.
Do you put shitloads of rubber bands around it?
I just chopped it up and put it in a blender. I've never heard of this before.
Have you not heard of the rubber band test of watermelons? If you put rubber bands around the watermelon, eventually the watermelon explodes, according to urban legend.
Oh, God.
Wow. You just have to keep putting more and more rubber bands around it.
Well, I guess that would make sense. Again, it sounds like the science is true. The good red wine science.
It sounds like someone had a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah, there's probably YouTube videos of it if indeed almost. It's true. I bet they're really underwhelming because I'm sure the word explodes is a bit, I'm sure it just collapses.
Yeah, it just slowly sags in on itself. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, well, I've now wasted a shit ton of rubber bands and I don't have a watermelon anymore.
Yeah.
It's like when you put a Mentos in Coke.
Yeah. Although that does look cool.
That does work, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I neither sat on my watermelon nor rubber banded it. Just get old. Good old blender.
Whizzed it up, did you?
Well, now I feel like I haven't whizzed it at all. I mean, it was a very unwhizzy solution compared to Emma's creative ideas for juicing your fruit.
Guys, much as I'm loving the juice chat, what is your next kind of step for you? What are you going to, what's your kind of plan of action?
Well, I'm entrusting my plan with the doctors because we're just going to go for this. So booking our appointments to kind of give our consent, do all our scans. And then just when they say start injecting yourself with this, I'll say,
man, hand it over.
And also, I don't know if you've seen yet the new series of Master of None.
Yeah, I have to start watching it on episode one. I was like, I wish they would put a trigger warning for that stuff because I couldn't handle it.
You wish that they what?
Would put a trigger warning. If anybody hasn't watched it, there's baby loss in the first episode. And I couldn't take it, so I turned it off.
Yeah. Well, there is an episode, there should be trigger warnings the whole way through, to be honest. But for me, it was very timely because I watched it just a couple of days ago and I had no idea that the storyline was going to go in this direction. But there is a whole episode about a woman who decides as a single woman in the US to go through IVF, and it's beautifully short. Cried multiple times.
I can't wait to watch it. I love Master of None. It is beautifully shot. It is. Like, all of them have been really nice.
Yeah.
It's just delicately and empathetically handled. And you really see it through her eyes. And it gives it a lot of time. It gives it the time and space of a whole episode rather than it being like one scene. Oh, now this happens.
Yeah. You know? Now she's pregnant.
And Sophie, tell me this. How many plans are you having to cancel in July and August?
Currently pulling out of quite a lot, but mainly so that I don't get tempted to drink or feel like I'm really missing out. Because I think this summer in particular, everyone's going to be going quite wild. For all the obvious reasons. So I'm playing it by ear. I've just let two of my best mates know that I will be leaving their birthday party, which is the kind of lockdown's over and it's our birthday. At 7 to 8 p.m.
It's hard.
Oh my God, it's so hard being so joyless. And I remember coming to your wedding and I just started meds for my embryo transfer.
You were sniffing something, I think.
Yeah, I was on Bucerolin. Mm. And I just remember being like, I really want to have a great time. And like, I think everybody got quite wasted at your wedding. Mm. And just being like, in fact, with both of you, I had like weirdnesses during your weddings.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, and just being like, I know I have to be sensible. So I struck an unhappy medium and drank a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It is difficult, but ultimately it's going to be worth it, right?
Yeah, totally. And also he has, bearing in mind you were going through all that, I think you absolutely nailed it on bringing the vibes.
Thanks, mate.
Both of you jointly, the poems, the vibes, everything.
We did this like poem of our own writing, didn't we?
We did.
Still the best thing I've ever written.
It's probably still the best thing I've ever heard.
Are you okay about injecting? Like, have you got a kind of plan of attack for that? You okay with needles?
Generally, I am okay with needles, and I find it bizarrely fascinating to watch someone putting a needle in me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I found
that bodes well.
Yeah, my blood tests and things I found totally fine, and I have had to medically inject someone before.
Okay.
But who knows? This one's going to be such a emotionally loaded one that I don't know.
It is weird plunging a needle into your own flesh. Mm-hmm. There's something innately odd about it.
I didn't do it for ages. Mr. Gabby did all of mine until like I would say towards the end, and then like from just like situations that he was away, I had to do it myself.
Were you injecting progesterone all the way through? Yeah, you were.
I then when I did it, I was like, why haven't I just been doing that the whole time? So demanding Mr. Gabby be home at the right time, you know? So it's like, actually, it's not that bad to do it yourself.
It's quite a mental block, though, I remember. I think that's the thing that freaked me out the most was injecting.
Mm. I think I know what I'll be like, because with anything like this, I mean, even doing my, I had to do a COVID test. And, you know, I like read the instructions like 7 times just for putting a swab basically in a plastic bag, you know, just like, I've got to get this absolutely right, because otherwise all the results could go wrong and I could ruin it for the whole country, you know.
You know,
so I know with this, I will probably for the first few times just get up in my head about like, I don't know, I'll probably be fearing out that I'll accidentally like puncture one of my ovaries or something like that. Yeah. But I think once I get past that initial stretch. And the other thing is, I thought you had to do it multiple times a day, but from the reading I've been doing today, it's actually
twice
a day. Okay. Yeah. Well,
once in the morning, once in the evening. Unless they give you some kind of, I mean, unless they give you something else.
No, you two are the experts. I think
I only did it once a day.
I think you had two a day, didn't you? Because you need something to suppress your ovaries. In fact, you did, because you sent me your protocol.
I did. I had two a day. Yeah.
So it's gonal F or whatever to stimulate your ovaries and something to suppress ovulation.
Yeah.
So it might be, I mean, I was sniffing Bucerolin at the beginning to suppress ovulation, but some people use it throughout.
Yeah, yeah. It's the kind of knock them down to build them up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the freeze-all strategy.
Oh, I can't wait to find out what your protocol is so we can digest all of the different drugs and be like, oh, that's what I had. That was good. Oh, that one stings. That one doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only one that really sang for me was the trigger.
Oh, no.
Did I do your trigger gaps or did I do a different one?
No, you did my last Fimeradal. God. Yeah, it was the last stingy one.
Okay.
Yeah. Fimeradal.
You do realise that some people binge this podcast. They like listen to you confidently pronouncing that like 2 days ago.
Yeah,
and now you're a mess.
No, I just can't.
Will you guys do, if I come to the Kent coastline, will you do a ritual injection of me?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have changed, or I changed our WhatsApp group name, which for years has been Holidays, to sisterhood of the, and then injection emoji because pointy needles doesn't fit.
I think that was a pretty good use of space.
Thanks.
I mean, it was the most apt emoji going.
Yeah.
That's us now. So yeah, definitely come to the coast. We'll stick you. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so officially, welcome to the sisterhood of the pointy needles. We'll get you a membership card.
Yeah, we'll get you the membership card and the t-shirt. And guys. The ceremonial robe.
And we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Emma, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. I'm resolutely fine.
Good. How are you, Gabby?
Yeah. I'm confused to be on a podcast with Emma Hazlitt and Emma Haslam. I don't really know where to look.
I've never met anybody called Emma Hazlitt or Emma Haslam before, apart from myself.
No, it's funny, isn't it? It's like, I feel quite unique. I did find out that there is a primary school named after my mother today.
Really?
Yeah, it's not actually named after my mother.
I found out recently that there's another Emma Haslam, and she was on Britain's Got Talent doing some sort of pole dancing.
Oh my god,
that's amazing.
I know.
All I know about my namesake is that she lives in Essex and she's a criminal.
No.
Yeah, it's in the local paper.
Girls, this is great. You were destined to be brought together to have this conversation.
We were.
Shall I tell you another funny story about my name today?
Please do.
Somebody with a very similar name bought a lot of sex toys today and accidentally put my email address in. And now I have that person's address and phone number and card details. And
so, what's their... No, because your email is quite simple.
Yeah.
What, are they an E Hazlitt as well?
I'm not going to disclose that. Should we talk about doing IVF abroad?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. We could just keep talking about sex toys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the grand scale of reproduction, they're important. Although I would add that in this situation, these toys are not going to help anyone get pregnant.
Absolutely not.
Anyway, so Emma, I want to actually keep our first bit really short because you've got a lot of practical advice that we're going to mine you for.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But like briefly, tell us about your journey.
My journey. Okay. Mm-hmm. So myself and my husband, Adam, were trying to conceive for about 6 years and we have joint diagnoses. We're both infertile, which is pretty unlucky. So Adam, I was going to say there's a problem with Adam's testicle. That's not quite the right terminology, but he had an undescended testicle when he was younger and had an operation to descend it. And they think that probably caused some damage that means that he now has a very low sperm count and motility. And at the age of 33, I was told that I was perimenopausal and had a very, very low AMH. So we were told that IVF was our only chance of getting pregnant. And even then we had a sort of 3-5% chance of it working.
It's not great odds.
Which is not great odds. And then the other kind of blow was that I needed to go away and lose a lot of weight for treatment in order to qualify. So I, over 2 years, lost 6 stone and got my BMI down to just under 35. Went back feeling very pleased with myself.
Rightly so.
Yeah, super fit and healthy. Adam also lost loads of weight just to kind of like cheer me along, really, and to see if it'd do anything for his sperm, which it didn't. And then we got back to the gynecology and they said, I'm really sorry, but the rules for the CCG have changed again and it's now BMI level of 30 in this area. So
Bastards.
So they said, can you just, in inverted commas, go away and lose another 2.5 stone? And I was like, not really.
Yeah, sure.
Not without resorting to drastic measures. Plus, I mean, to put it into context, like, I think the BMI thing is just complete bullshit anyway. But I'm 5'10" and I was a size 14 and like probably the fittest and the healthiest I've ever been. And the reason we couldn't conceive was nothing to do with my weight. Anyway, we left that appointment and I was like, look, I can't lose any more weight without starving myself and I'm not going down that road.
Yeah, that's not helpful for fertility.
Yeah, absolutely. So we didn't have any money. We didn't know what we were going to do. So we moved in with my parents and began to save. And sort of started to look at the options in the UK and found things were just so expensive. And if we could cobble together the money for a round, it would literally just be one round and that would be it. And with such tiny odds, that felt like massive pressure. And we're quite practical people. We're like, it's just not going to work in one round of IVF. And so we started to look abroad because we'd heard that perhaps it might be cheaper. And that's all we really knew at that point. And because a lot of the clinics that we were looking at offered free or really low cost consultations, we thought, well, we may as well speak to a few clinics and kind of go from there.
Because UK clinics charge for your first consultation, don't they?
Yeah. And we had a few consultations with, I think, 3 UK clinics and we spent like coming up to $1,000, I think, on consultations.
Jesus. Oh, that's so fucking annoying.
So annoying. And the other thing that annoyed me was that we got the prices off the website and then we're like, right, okay. And then we had paid for the consultation, had the consultations, and then we got the real prices afterwards. And we were like, are they taking the piss? Like, ridiculously different. And it was almost like if we'd have known that, we wouldn't have spent money on the consultation.
God.
So we just got really annoyed. And I was like, no, I don't want to have treatment with them either.
Fuck you guys.
Fuck you. Yeah. So then we're like, right, now what are we going to do? And we looked into adoption and we weren't sure that that was quite right for us. And that, you know, I was really desperate, as we all are in this community, to, you know, try and be pregnant and carry a baby and give birth to a baby myself. So we booked some consultations. We didn't really know what we were doing at that time. Found it really quite stressful deciding on, you know, how do you pick who to have a consultation with when you type IVF abroad into Google? You get so many things come back. But I am a bit of a nerd and I quite like looking into stuff. Had some free consultations, chose a clinic. All 3 clinics said to us, we really don't think you should do IVF with your own egg and sperm because we just don't think it's going to happen, which is really hard to hear. But I actually really respected them for telling us the truth. And all of a sudden those tiny odds shot up to 60-70%. So being a numbers game, as we know it is, and with the you know, the cost being so much cheaper, we were like, right, okay, well, even if we ended up having 3 rounds, I should be pregnant by then. Because my oven, if you like, is fine. So that's what we decided to do. And on our 3rd round, I became pregnant with twins. And sadly, we lost one of them at 10 weeks.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And then I gave birth to Albie in August 2018. So he's now nearly 3. ridiculous. He's so cute. Yeah. So cute. He never stops talking. Like, he's the best. He's honestly the
best. I love the name Albie.
Oh, thank you. He's officially Albert. We'll never call him that. He's either Bertie or Albie, which suits him.
Okay.
And then I had awful postnatal depression. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself that I must enjoy every single moment and couldn't possibly ever like feel tired or anything, and found that period quite difficult. And that's when we decided to set up a business.
Mm-hmm. What better foundation?
What for better a foundation than postnatal depression?
Hey, if that's what gets you out of your funk.
Yeah, well, that's it. It gave me another focus. Obviously, it's still my son, and I was lucky that I felt bonded to him. But some of my fears about donor conception, I guess, came to the surface when I'd had him. And he had reflux and a dairy allergy and did a lot of crying. And I convinced myself it was because he knew that I wasn't biologically connected to him. And
God. Yeah. And you know what? My daughter had reflux and a dairy allergy, and it was
so hard.
I mean, she ended up in hospital, but I almost definitely would have reacted in the same way if I'd had that to blame.
Yes.
Instead, I blamed infertility. I'm not supposed to be a mother.
Yeah, and I kind of thought it must be something that I was doing wrong and just made myself.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether I made myself, but the whole thing was just a horrible 18 months. And we'd had such a good clinical experience, but we recognised that there were so many things that while we were going through it, we wish we'd have had, like support from somebody to sort of answer all of the questions that you don't yet know you've got until you're going through IVF. Even IVF in the UK, but IVF abroad adds another layer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And we wanted people to know that it could be more accessible to perhaps people who'd been told no by the NHS or privately in the UK, that, certain things didn't have to be a barrier to treatment. And I guess the main thing was cost as well, because you don't have to spend the money in the UK. There are excellent clinics abroad that you can find that your money can go further, that might stretch to additional rounds if they're needed.
And that can make all the difference, obviously.
Yeah, well, if we'd have had one round in the UK, it wouldn't have been donor, because donor was never mentioned to us. And it took three rounds of donor
for
us.
Very expensive here.
So we wouldn't have a baby, and that would be it.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful that we sort of decided to go abroad, and that they were honest with us, and we did the three rounds. And the third round was actually free, because usually most people sort of with donor treatment, not everybody, but most people that expect to be pregnant within a couple of rounds. And when I wasn't, they gave me my third round for free, and I hadn't signed up to any big, commitment to three rounds. It was just, if you're not pregnant by the second, we'll give you your third for free, which they did with no quibble.
Yeah.
Wow. Where did you go when you went abroad?
So we went to the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, the first kind of thing that drew me to the Czech Republic was the fact that they were, really cost-effective for fertility treatment. I didn't realise back then that they're the second most popular place to go for IVF in Europe.
Where's the first most popular?
Greece?
No, Spain.
I'm going Greece.
Spain?
Spain, yeah. Spain do about 34% of all assisted reproductive stuff in Europe, yeah. And then the Czech Republic are not far behind. Greece is about 10%. Greece is next.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess my first question that definitely sprang to mind when I was thinking about this, because you and I talked about this for the book as well. Mm-hmm. You appear in our book, pre-order the book.
now, please.
was it quite idyllic? Like, did you get to like roam around Prague and look at the like beautiful architecture and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Or was it just as stressful as normal IVF?
Well, I haven't got anything to compare it to, because I haven't had IVF in the UK, but I can tell you when I was shooting up in the toilets at work, my blood thinners before I went away, that was quite stressful. And I always felt like I was doing something wrong and that I shouldn't be doing that. So to be away and, you don't really spend that much time at the clinic. So, you might be there for a couple of days, or you might be there for 10 to 12 days, depending what treatment you're having. So it is a perfect opportunity to have a break and relax. Yeah. I know it's not the same as going on holiday. isn't, but it still is a break, and we found that time together really nice. And you know, we were going around Prague looking at everything and just having a generally quite lovely time.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. I
suppose it adds like a special layer onto it that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, definitely. And I think that all helps. I mean, don't get me wrong, when we were there the third time, we were kind of a bit done. But you know, the first time we went, we stayed actually for longer than what was needed, because we made it into a little bit of a holiday. And then the third time we went, we just literally went for the least time we could.
Yeah.
But just that time together away from the stresses of home and work were amazing. Mm-hmm. And that place obviously now holds a special place for us. You know, and it's a lovely place to visit. I don't know if you've ever been. It's lovely.
Yeah, I only went when I was 14, actually, and I do keep meaning to go back. Okay, so we've got loads of questions from our Instagram followers, actually. So I'm just going to, like, just smash them out.
Smash basically. One out.
Let's go for it.
The first question, one that's, you know, kind of very, will probably be high in a lot of people's minds when they're thinking about doing it abroad, is how do you know which countries are well-regulated? Like, how do you know you're not going to some dodgy clinic?
Yeah, and this. I'm glad you've said that, or somebody's asked that, because obviously we say, you know, look at IVF abroad. I'm not saying that every clinic everywhere is going to be okay, because they absolutely aren't going to be okay. But the main thing that is helpful is to find a clinic that's within an EU country. Right. Because by doing that, you are going to be choosing somewhere that, you know, has the rules and regulations of the EU. So you've got a level of protection that you haven't got in other countries. Also, if they're a clinic in a country in the EU, then you can look out for things like, have they got an ISO accreditation, which stands for the International Organization of Standardization. So that's like another sort of stamp, if you like, and that just makes sure that, you know, the health, the safety and security, and that everything's safeguarded under European law. The other things that need to be checked are, you know, are they registered for assisted reproductive techniques in their country? And are they regulated, you know, through the Ministry of Health and that kind of thing? So for us anyway, they're the kind of checks that we carry out, because it's really important. And the other thing as well about being part of an EU clinic is that, you know, your data is not going to be sold to, you know, somebody in a different country. Things like success rates should be independently validated if you're using a clinic in a European country. And these are all the questions that we ask, and we would encourage you to be asking, because you want to make sure if a clinic's saying they've got a 65% success rate that it's true. You know, and there are, I mean, I always say to people about success rates, it's more about your personal projected success rate, because the success rates could be validated and real. However, you're not comparing exact samples, are you? So it always needs to be taken with a little bit of a pinch of salt, but it's one part of the jigsaw. But like when we said to my parents and Adam's mum, going back in time, what we were doing, they were like, what? Where are you going? What are you doing? They were worried about safety. And I think, you know, the image that it can conjure up to people is some dodgy clinic down a back alley deep in Eastern Europe. And actually, you know, if you do your due diligence, then the reality doesn't have to be like that. But of course, there will be some places like that. And I always say, like, any clinic that offers things like teeth whitening, boob jobs, nose jobs, and fertility.
Get the whole shaboozle.
I say to them, go get it all done. No, I don't.
Yeah.
And can you spot me out while you're there? No.
But you're right, though. It does make you think of those Daily Mail stories of somebody who went abroad to have a boob job.
God.
And like ended up with like two different size wabs.
Nobody wants two different size wabs. Not if they pay for it anyway.
No.
But you know, these are all things that I think, you know, they are out there. So we never, ever work with a clinic that offered things like that. You know, it needs to be just concentrating on fertility.
Watch out.
One really simple question from one of the listeners. How much does it cost?
So it varies.
And I guess what's the markdown from the UK is more of a...
Yeah, okay. So you can have a cycle of IVF with ICSI from about £2,000 in an EU country.
Wow. That's...
Yeah.
Nice.
That's mental. That's about, what, a fifth of the price of the UK?
Yeah. So we would say that you could go and have your flights, accommodation, medication, spending money for about between 40 and 60% cheaper than the UK, depending on where you go.
Okay. That's significant.
Significant, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. If you're going to go there, how long do you have to go for? Do you stay? Do you move there? Can you get scans in the UK as well?
Yes.
Yeah, so how does it work?
It depends on what treatment you're having. So let's go with, again, with IVF, own egg, own sperm. Typically, you're required for about 10 days. And most people start their medication and protocol in their home country first and will do their first two ultrasounds in, say we're talking about the UK. They'll do the ultrasounds in the UK privately and any blood work that's needed either on the NHS or privately, and send them all across to the clinic. And then you fly out for your final scan before egg collection, and then you're there until transfer. So generally about 10 days.
There are clinics in the UK that work with, kind of in conjunction with clinics in Europe, right? Because I remember when I was having my panic scans with my daughter when I was pregnant, there was the place I went to get my ultrasounds was... worked really closely with a Greek one?
Yes, there are. And there are obviously freestanding places as well that you can go and get them. So you don't have to be attached to a UK IVF clinic to use them. So it's perfectly possible. Or alternatively, like we've had clients who've said, we're going to go out there for the whole thing and just spend longer out there. And they can have everything, you know, from start to finish done out there. And that might be, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. But most people prefer to start at home and spend as little time away as possible.
So you'd have your consultation over Zoom or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you would probably start your drugs over here, right? So you go and get your own drugs.
Yeah, so the prescriptions will come over. And sometimes the clinics have links with UK online pharmacies. Generally they send you the prescriptions and you go and get them sorted yourself.
Off to Asda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because they don't charge any, they don't make any markup, do they?
They don't.
No.
And then you would have generally one scan then, you know, when they're making sure that the lining's thickening up and everything's looking good, send that report across to your clinic. And then from that, they will then set things like your definitive egg collection date. And then you get things booked. Off you go. Yeah.
So the reality is, I suppose, that you don't spend your time going back and forth, which would, I suppose, be the issue.
No, absolutely not. No. And, you know, again, you'd need to check this with the clinic that you're using, but hopefully you're just required to go to one site, you know, for that final scan. You might have to have a pre-op appointment, then you have your egg collection, and then you go back for transfer.
Okay. Cool. So you could really do it in two trips.
You could do it in two trips. That's the other option. Yeah, absolutely. You could fly out for the final scan and egg collection, come back and go out again for transfer if you wanted to. I mean, you can, if you choose to, have that final scan still in your home country. Just that the clinics prefer to do that final scan themselves, but you don't have to. So you could shorten the time that way. And I've also worked with people whose partner hasn't, if they've got a male partner who hasn't been able to stay for the full amount of time. So they've maybe gone out with, you know, as a mum or the sister, and the partner's flown in to do their sample and then leave.
Wow.
Sounds bad, that doesn't it? Do your sample and then leave.
I mean, that brings a whole new meaning to Gabby's whack off races. Long distance. Okay, cool. One question that we got from a couple of people, which I thought was quite interesting, and obviously you have experience of, is about BMI. So the way they phrase it is Greece, and I guess any other countries, more BMI friendly?
Yes. Yeah. So some countries have limits, but they tend to be more generous than ours. So, for example, the Czech Republic, a BMI limit is 40. Mm-hmm. Somewhere like Spain is 35, so not as generous. Somewhere like Greece, they don't tend to have a limit at all. It tends to be looked at more holistically, and that's whether that's both ends of the scale, really. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the UK, it tends to be a blanket. No, although I think there is one clinic that does a BMI of up to 40, but I think the rest of them in the UK are up to 35 with no kind of budging on that.
Yeah.
If you're paying privately.
The holistic style seems like it makes so much more sense.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Cool. How does the quality of PGD / PGS compare abroad?
Now, I've never had that personally. So it's difficult to compare it, I guess. What I will say is about add-ons and things abroad that is different to the UK that might be helpful for people listening is that generally most clinics abroad do not make any markup, any money on the add-ons, and they just sell them at cost and put the money back into the labs. So I think if that treatment is suggested for you, it's because in the experience of the doctor, they have seen, I guess, people in your situation have, you know, a good outcome might not be the right word, but, you know, it's been useful to people in their experience because they're not selling it so that they get a big fat bonus at the end of the year. They're selling it because they believe that it's going to be helpful to you. So I don't know whether that helps or not. I mean, you know, it's difficult to say whether their techniques are better or not. I believe that, you know, they offer more forward thinking, more of the newer technologies and things than perhaps in the UK. But on that particular one, I don't know.
That's really interesting about the add-ons, because I, in my head, and this is like obviously the wrong way of thinking, it was like, oh, they're not as regulated with the add-ons and they just, you know, fire them at you.
No.
But no, quite the opposite.
Yeah, and actually, do you know what was interesting? So my protocol for my cycles was massively different each time, which is great. That's what I wanted. And I wanted them to be personalised. The only time any add-on was ever mentioned to me or to us was embryo glue, which I think was about £100. So out of all the things that they could have tried to sell us, that was it. And, you know, he was very honest and said, you know, there is very little evidence, but in some of the people we've worked with, it has been the thing that's possibly helped. And I thought, do you know what? For £100, we'll have it.
No. Get the Brit stick out. I'll take it.
Done. Sold. So whether that was the thing, I don't know. On that cycle, it did work. But we never, ever were sold add-ons, ever, apart from the embryo glue at the end.
That's really funny.
I know.
£100 made a difference. So the final question from our listeners is about languages, and the way they phrase it was quite beautiful. She said, "I unfortunately don't speak a second language," which I think a lot of people in the UK have the same issue. And then she said, "How common is it for clinics abroad to speak English?"
Very common. A lot of their business comes from English-speaking countries. So they kind of have to. And I also think a lot of other countries, apart from the UK, are much better, aren't they, at learning a second language.
Oh, yes.
Your main point of contact will have excellent spoken and written English. If there's anybody that you're dealing with at a clinic that doesn't speak as well in English, there'll usually be a second person there to help with that.
Brilliant.
But I've never encountered any difficulties, or neither of my clients. The only time it can sometimes be a little bit tricky is the way that they may write might be different to the way that you or I would write. So sometimes there's some back and forth on emails because of the way they write things and the way that we might interpret them, because it's different, isn't it, when it's on an email anyway, rather than on a phone. So it can sometimes just be a bit more faffy in terms of a few emails might go to get an answer that might have only taken one if it had been you know, somebody who was English speaking to somebody else whose first language was English.
Okay. So I guess the last question is just about, you know, what is the one piece of advice that you give to your clients when they're doing this? Like, what's the first thing that you say to them? Or the last thing?
So when we narrow down a pool of clinics to help them find, you know, the right clinic for them, we give them a list of suggested questions. And some of those questions, some of our clients have said, oh, I can't ask that, because they perceive it to be like a tough question. Whereas I really want people to feel empowered in these situations that they can ask whatever they like because they are the client. And, you know, I say to our clients, even though we've narrowed this pool down, don't just take my word for it. I want you to ask uh-huh. these questions because you need to know that this is the right clinic for you. And anything anybody suggests to you, you should be questioning to understand, you know, what are the benefits? What are the risks? Why are you suggesting this to me? What's the evidence? And I want people to feel empowered to not be afraid to ask questions, because I think, you know, being in a situation, sat in front of a doctor discussing your infertility is really tough, isn't it?
It is.
And, you know, we want people to be prepared for that and not be afraid to question doctors, because at the end of the day, you're a paying client and this is your body and your future, isn't it? And mm-hmm. I don't want you to feel afraid to ask questions.
It's good old self-advocacy.
Definitely. Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, Peter. Yeah. Wow. Well, you are a font of knowledge, and I think that was going to really help quite a lot of people.
Oh, God, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. Now it's time for
IVF.
What the F?
What the F?
And it's the last on these for a little while.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
And
we're talking about blood groups.
Do you know what your blood group is?
I have it written down. But I'm not sure what it actually is because I keep forgetting it.
Yeah. Well, it's not something you need ever, really, is it? Like, until you really need it.
You know, sometimes you see a study that says, like, people with A negative blood types are more likely to blah, blah, blah. Mm. Or like, whatever. Or like, we need more O negative. And I'm like, oh, I'm always like, oh, I'm that one. And I never am. I never am that one.
I'm A plus.
A positive, you might say.
A positive.
I'm going to look on my phone because I've got it written down on my medical ID because I just forget it every single time.
I've got a little key ring that I got given when I went to give blood once. They were like, oh, here's your little key ring that tells you what you are.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's never been of use.
I can't find it anywhere. I mean, it must have been of use when, like, for instance, you're having medical treatment.
Yeah, I suppose I just haven't really had medical treatment apart from IVF.
Yeah.
Or the F.
Lucky you. Yeah, I can't find it. I don't know what it is.
Oh, you're going to leave everyone hanging as to what your blood group is.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been sparkling banter.
I know, right?
I think there's not a lot to say about this other than we had a few people ask this question. Does your blood group affect your fertility?
Mm.
And I think it's quite an interesting question. So here's what Prof Tim has to say about it.
For the last time in a while. Take it away, Tim.
So I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about how blood groups and types do affect fertility. And I would say that the answer really is that it makes no difference. I think some of the confusion comes from when women are pregnant, there's a lot of interest given as to whether the woman who is pregnant is a positive or negative rhesus group. So, you know, if someone is group O positive, it's the positive, which means they are rhesus positive. And the issue is that if a woman has a negative blood group, so is, you know, A negative or O negative, if she has a baby who has a positive blood group, then what can happen is that the woman who's pregnant can develop antibodies against the pregnancy. And potentially these antibodies can cause issues with the growth and development of the baby and can cause quite severe problems. Now, this doesn't generally happen in the first pregnancy, it happens in subsequent pregnancies. And this is why if anyone is pregnant and they are blood group negative, and if they have any, for instance, procedures during pregnancy, or they have a miscarriage and they're having some surgical management of the miscarriage, then it's very important that they're given some antibodies. So they're given an injection of antibodies to help protect that pregnancy and future pregnancies. And that's why women who are blood group negative, who have an ongoing pregnancy, will be given some anti-D injections during the pregnancy and also after delivery. And it's to protect that and subsequent pregnancies. But none of these things actually affect fertility. So they don't, the blood group that you or your partner is, whether you're positive or negative or just the actual blood group, isn't going to affect the chance of getting pregnant or the miscarriage rate or anything like that. It's really more of a concern or something which is watched out for later on in pregnancy.
Well, guys, it's over. The episode is finished.
We should do all our own jingles, really. Like, screw that song that appears in every single TV show.
Fucking George Clark. Get off our theme tune. Get off it.
I reckon we probably get a message a week being like, I was watching this TV show. Your theme tune came up.
I was like, really, yeah, I composed that in my bedroom.
Yeah, how dare they use it?
What? How did they get hold of it? We're not changing the theme tune, though.
We're not fucking changing
George
the theme tune.
George can change his.
Yeah. Next week, we have Elle Wright.
Feathering the Empty Nest.
Yeah, that was quite the emotional conversation, wasn't it, Gabriella?
It was. I mean, it is emotional. She it was with quite heavy stuff.
It was a while ago now. Was it another one where you cried and I didn't?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Were you okay?
I think we were both stony-faced.
Yeah, okay. anyway, we'll see you all next week. Us and Elle, we'll see you next week.
We will.
Give us a shout if you want to talk to us. Yeah. Other than that, have a lovely week. See you next
Tuesday.
See you later,
guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.